everyone. Today is July 1st, 2020, and this is our Spiritual Law of Nature call with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting Alex today. Before we hear from Alex, though, I want to share this short disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only, and since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, or maybe even you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And our spiritual law of nature today that Alex shared on YouTube, hopefully those of you on the call today were able to see that, is what's the big deal about sin? Is that it, Alex?
That's it, believe it or not.
Okay, Alex. Well, we do have a couple questions that were posted on YouTube that you could address. But if anyone here on the call today has a question or comment for Alex regarding that, you can press star 2 on your phone, and that's going to raise your hand, or you can type in your question in the field if you're on the web, and I can read that to Alex. So while we're waiting for any hands to come up, Alex, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, let me just give the overview, and hopefully you've watched the video. If not, I would recommend you go back and watch it. This is actually something I'm not sure if I've ever taught it before, even though I've done a lot of work with it with clients I worked with. Everyone knows that word sin, S-I-N. For some people, it's a four-letter word, not a three-letter word, if you know what I mean. Some of us were beaten to death with it as a child growing up. Some of us, some don't believe in it anymore. They don't live their life that way because it was so painful, and they see it harming people and all that sort of thing. And there's, you know, I can sympathize with almost every one of those views, especially the being beaten up with it and trying to get away from that once I grew up. But the word sin really just means to miss the mark, to make a mistake, okay? And I've taught a lot about, you know, I do not practice anymore what I grew up being taught. I run from religion and have for years. Took me decades to recover from my religious upbringing. I still have something pop up every once in a while that is kind of like a stabbing me in the side. Oh, man, that hurts, you know, and it reminds me of all that growing up stuff. And today I believe in, you know, this incredible thing called grace, where if we mess up, if we sin, it's already been paid for before we ever even do it. And the mess up I'll have tomorrow and 5 years from now and 10 years from now has already been paid for before I even do it. And think about it. Nothing has to be paid for twice, okay? If it's already been paid for, then that doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to the person who paid for it, which is not me, okay? So even when I do that, tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years down the road, that mistake is not written under my name if I'm right with God, okay? And I believe that 1,000% today. And, man, what an incredible freeing love, joy, peace kind of a system is that. It's unbelievable. It really is. That, and in fact, it you almost can't get your head around it to understand it. It just doesn't make sense because nothing on earth works that way. Everything on earth is action-reaction. Well, this is not action-reaction. This is action, and it's already been taken care of. The result's already been taken care of, okay? And, man, that is the most wonderful thing there could ever be or even imagined in my book. But there's still the issue of, okay, but I believe in grace, and I think I'm right with God, but my life isn't so great. I mean, I still have all these problems, and I'm having health problems and relationship problems and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. So if everything was love, joy, and peace, as long as I'm right with God, then how come I'm not experiencing that? Well, I would say most likely it's because of sin or mess-ups. And the wonderful thing with grace is there's – and if you go back to some of the YouTube videos, I explain all of this in detail. But there's two systems of right and wrong. In one system, the natural law system, if I do good, I get good. If I do bad, I get bad. Okay? And so every time I do good, I get a check mark. Every time I do bad, I get an X mark. Okay? But under the system of grace, if I do good, I get good. But if I do bad, I still get good, guaranteed, long term. But the key there is long term. The problem is I still live in a physical body that works by natural law. So even if I'm committed to living in the spiritual, which I believe everybody should prioritize the spiritual in their life, okay, which includes relationships and the inward state of your heart, which is kind of your unconscious and subconscious, okay, even though you're committed to that and live that way, if you do not make the 10 to 50 decisions every single day doing what you believe is right and best for you to do, every time you do that, it will punch your stress button. A stress test, a lie detector test is a stress test, plain and simple. That's why it's not admissible in court, because the policeman is thinking you're stressed because you robbed the house, but you're stressed just because you're in a police station taking this test, and on the basis of the test, they might put you in jail. So you could have not remotely robbed the house, but your stress is spiked, and so the policeman thinks you're guilty and robbed the house when you didn't, okay? A stress test, a lie detector test is a stress test. So anytime we are not honest with ourselves, anytime we're not truthful with ourselves, it spikes your stress. What does that mean? It means when I get up in the morning and Hope and I both get to the shower at the same time, that, and I have this voice in my head, or maybe it's my conscience, or maybe it's what Dr. Bruce Lipton calls the vibe, and I think, oh, I should let Hope shower first so she doesn't have to wait on me. Well, but is that what I do? So do I say, oh, honey, you go ahead. I'll wait on you. Or do I kindly, and kindly, mainly so I can get my way, do I kindly say, honey, I'm late for work. Would you mind if I go first? Well, if I do the second one, believing I should have let her go first, I'm not being truthful with myself. I'm not doing what I believe was the best right thing for me to do at that time and in that situation, so it punches my stress button. Now, how long am I in stress from that? 15 minutes to an hour, hour and a half probably, unless it really bothers me a lot, which probably doesn't. Well, then I'm out of the shower, and I'm headed to the kitchen, and the trash is overflowing, and I think, ah, I should take out the trash. Hope doesn't like to take out the trash. It's overflowing, but I'm still running late. If I decide not to take out the trash, I've just punched my stress button again. Get out in traffic, and somebody's trying to get into the lane, okay, asking if they can come into the lane. So do I let them in, or do I pull up really close to the car behind me and refuse to look at them and not let them in because I'm already late? Well, if I do that, believing I should have let them in, I punch my stress button again. And most people I know, even who are committed to living in love, who are committed to being right with God, do not obey their conscience or the vibe, whatever you want to call that, whenever they feel those things. And with most people, and it has been with me for over the years too, it's basically a coin flip. About half the time I'll do it, about half the time I won't. Oh, I should go wash the car. Probably not going to do that one. That's probably 10% do it, 90% don't. But I think you get the point. The point is, if you believe what is right for you, right and best for you to do at a certain time in a certain situation, and you do not do that, you choose to do something else, you just punch your stress button. So even for people who are committed to love, very often they are killing every single day because they go through their day punching their stress button 10 to 50 times a day because they are violating their conscience or the vibe or what they believe is best and right for them to do or not do in a certain situation. Okay? And so this is sort of almost like a secret hidden killer. Because most people think, well, I'm either saved or I'm not. I'm either a good person or I'm not. Well, that may be true that you're saved. It may be true that you're a good person. And that those mess ups are paid for before you ever even do them, and you're guaranteed to get good long term. But you're killing every single day by violating what you believe is right and best in that situation. So what's the big deal about sin? That was the title of it. It is a very big deal. And this is why. Not because you're going to be lost if you do something. Not because God's going to strike you down. Not because if you don't believe in God. Not because there's going to be some terrible, horrible worldwide catastrophe if you don't do it, but every time you violate, every time you're dishonest and not truthful with yourself, you're punching your stress button just like that lie detector test. So, and if you're doing that 10, 15 times a day, you're basically in stress the whole day. So that, for so many people, is why they're committed to love, but they're not really having the love, joy, peace, living their best life experience because they're killing every day with these seemingly little sins, or maybe not even sins, just choices. Okay? So that's this spiritual law, and it is an absolutely crucial one. And I've seen people who have tried all kinds of things for 20, 30 years who really wrapped their head around this, and within 1 week of starting to do what they believe they should do about the little things, their whole life had shifted around tremendously. And I've seen it more than once. I've seen it a number of times. And that's kind of what happened to me as well. So this can be a really big deal. Now, some of you are going to ask about perfectionism, okay? I am not talking about perfectionism. Perfectionism is not love-based. That's fear-based, okay, and judgmental, okay? Judgment is not on the love side. It's on the fear side. And the judging is to see is to gauge worth and value, inferiority or superiority, okay? So if you're a perfectionist, you may have to get that fixed first before this really works for you, because right now everything, every choice seems like a have to, okay? And of course, you can't keep up. You can't do that. Hope was a blazing perfectionist the first number of years of our life. So that's a different kind of kettle of fish. And the perfectionist needs to become committed to love, and that's what should greatly help with that perfectionism. And then see all these little things not as heaven or hell, not as saved or unsaved, not as good or bad, but just the way I need to live to work in harmony with this physical body I'm in, so that I can start to every day experience more love, joy, peace, and hopefully, eventually, my best possible life in every way. And I started talking at the very first of the Healing Codes almost 20 years ago. In fact, I was teaching it before the Healing Codes, a thing called conscious conflict, all right? And that's basically what this is. It's acting in a way that violates your conscience, even if it's a small thing. Now, taking out the garbage, that's not a big thing. I mean, Hope and I aren't going to get divorced over that. She's not going to yell at me about that. It's not a big deal. It's probably not a sin. It's a choice. But I still in me have I should take the garbage out for her. And when I have that, no matter what you call it, if I go against it, I'm pushing my stress switch. So that's it for me, Johanna. And we can do questions or whatever. I do need to leave at the bottom of the hour today, though. I've got a conference I've got to get to.
Okay, very good. Well, if you have any questions, anyone on the line right now, or comments, please raise your hand by pressing star 2. Star 2 on your phone is going to raise your hand, and you'll be able to ask Alex a question, make a comment. We had two questions coming in. I think you answered the one. You may have answered both of them, Alex. Did you have a chance to read those that I sent to you, or did you just happen to address them?
Yeah, I tried to address those, but if I've not done enough, then, you know, ask it again or whatever.
Oh, I thought you did really well. So, okay, we have two hands up. Let me go ahead and unmute one of the lines. Okay, this is Gwen in California. 1664 is your phone number, and I've opened your line. Go ahead, Gwen.
Hi, Johanna. Hi, Dr. Alex. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, great. How are you?
Good.
Doing wonderful, thank you. Great topic today. And
thanks.
I wanted to ask you about the stress switch, because it seems that stress switch gets triggered sometimes automatically, and we're not even aware of it until it's already been activated. And yet,
right,
the process that you mentioned is like a contemplation. Well, is this the right thing to do? Is that not the right thing to do? And sometimes while you're doing that, the stress switch already gets activated. Is there a way to be able to stay in a higher vibration energetically so that the stress situation doesn't get triggered automatically?
Well, I think, and that's a great question. And I think there's several things you can do. One is another teaching I've done, turn everything into a prayer. Like, anytime you have a negative thought or feeling, don't let that thing just go and do what it wants to do. Grab it and turn it into a prayer. Don't change any of the words. If you're cussing, cuss the prayer. I mean, God already knows what you're thinking anyway, all right? But ask for help with that. So I think that's a big thing. Another thing that is that you can do that I think will help a lot is activating your vagus nerve. And I think in a week or two, the teaching is going to be about how you do that and how much that can benefit your stress paradigm. And it's very, very simple to do. But we'll be talking about that in a week or two. But you can Google that and start it now. I mean, there's easy instructions on the internet how to do that, and that can lower your stress. The other thing is to have as your intention. I mean, pray about it, but almost just have a conversation with your heart and say, okay, it is my intention to, as best I can, do what I believe is right and best in the time and situation that I'm in. So please don't go ahead and push my stress switch, because I've ignored this for 40 years and known what I should do, but gone and done the other thing just because that's what I wanted to do, okay? I didn't want to wash the car. I didn't want to take out the garbage. I didn't want to do that. So I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going to try to change from that. So please heal that way of doing things that is programmed into me for 40 years of doing it that way, and give me a little bit of grace to try to determine, you know, what the best choice is in that situation before you punch the stress switch. I think so many people, we've become so programmed to at least 50% of the time, maybe more, not do what we believe we should do, that it's kind of like, you know, there's this guy in control of our heart, which is the unsubconscious mind, generational, all that, the part we don't know about. He's sitting up there in the control seat, and, you know, that garbage can is coming up in about 5 seconds, but he already knows what I'm going to do because I've done it for 40 years. So he goes ahead and punches it, and sure enough, that is what I would have done. But this is sort of I'm recalibrating here, and I'm going to start as best I can, and it may take me a good while to work against my own programming here, but as best I can, I'm going to start trying to do what I believe is right and best in the situation. So please back off the stress switch a little bit and give me a chance to make the right choice before that gets punched. And I believe that'll happen. And I believe it'll happen more and more as you choose more and more that right, best situation for you.
Beautiful. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There's this part of us that we know we should do something. It's time to do this, time to work out, time to go to do our paperwork and stuff. And there's this part of it to say, no.
That's right. Yeah. And when you say no, maybe it's already been pushed because the little guy in your heart knew you were going to say no. Well, okay, we're having a meeting now, and we're changing all that, and I'm going to try to start doing what I believe is right at the time. So please back off the stress switch at least until I actually make the wrong choice, and I believe that'll start happening. I mean, I've done that myself when I first started trying to live this stuff. And it didn't mean it happened overnight, but it happened pretty quick.
Is it like developing a muscle?
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, that's a good example. Or, you know, a little kid learning how to walk. You know, they fall down 1,000 times, and then 1,001, they walk, and we take pictures and start yelling and all that. But you take any one of those 1,000 falls away, and they would have never learned how to walk. They needed all of those.
Wow. I love that. I love that this and staying in prayer. That's great. It'll help me great today. Dr. Alex, thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.
All
okay,
right.
Johanna, I've got about 6 minutes.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can keep it short. I think this is Marilyn. I'm going to unmute your line, 5870.
Good morning. Yes, it is. This is
Marilyn.
Good morning. It's not so much a question. It's more, this is what you're talking about when you say when you commit yourself to love, but you never get it right.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This makes that clearer for me because I never could understand why I couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. And in my experience, this is what it is. You're in conflict with your own conscience, which creates internal stress.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm short today.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, thank you, Marilyn. Love you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So, Alice, we don't have any other hands up.
All right. Well, I'm going to slide to my other meeting. I love you, Johanna. Love you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Alex. All right. So we do have some time today if any of you would like to have a custom code or a custom trilogy. You can just raise your hand by pressing star two on your phone. I've lowered all the hands that were up for questions. Or I say there was only two. But if you wanted to raise your hand to get a custom code or a custom trilogy, raise your hand. All right. Okay, so I think I see Marilyn again. Hi there.
Hi. I think a trilogy. I have a situation with my son, which I'm trying to help him with. And it's a bit like swings and roundabouts. I sort of feel we make progress, and then it's like he goes back. He's in a situation with a person who is narcissistic. And we've healed and we've healed, and it's like he takes steps to walk away, and then it's like he reels him back in, and I want to heal. I don't know what. I think it's anguish I feel.
Okay. Yeah.
But I can't seem to be able to help him walk away from it.
Yeah.
It's like he knows. It's like he knows that he's not going to be happy if he marries her, but he just doesn't seem to be able to. And I don't know whether it's. I know I have to give it up, but I just sort of feel anguish that I don't seem
right.
to be able to help him.
Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that, Marilyn?
Oh, that's a 10. That's
okay.
Just way up there.
Do you recall feeling that at any other time in your life?
I think over my parents not being able to help my parents, they were never a happy couple. Probably my mother more than my father. I think, yeah, probably my mother. I just wanted her to be happy, and I couldn't. I didn't seem to be able to help her be happy.
So
and I tried very hard. I tried very hard to help her to be happy.
On a scale from 1 to 10, when you think about the anguish you felt, how strong is that?
That would be a 10, too.
Okay. All right. So we want to heal both of these areas right now so that you're able to, of course, do what you can, say your prayers, have that intention, and release it to him in love. That we
probably
want
put my whole probably put my whole family in, Johanna. I think mother, I think maybe I felt if I could help mother that I could help the whole family. So maybe put my whole family in.
Okay. All right. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully. This fear issue.
Okay. All right, so you would do this for your own feelings, of course, and memories, but release this to them in love as well. Okay, so minute number one, acupoints and meridians. You're going to tap from the eyebrows all the way down to the side of the hand. No. Every point.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're going to go to the little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Index finger.
Yep.
And up to the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Side of eyes.
Yes.
Down to the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Then the middle of the chest.
Yep.
And sore spots.
Mm-hmm.
Collarbones.
Yep.
Okay, just a moment. Then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, minute number two, healing code. Both hands below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand jaw, right hand temple.
Mm-hmm.
Both hands on the brain stem.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand bridge, right hand Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
Both hands on the high bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three, governing conception and energy centers. We're going to slide from the base all the way up and over four
mm-hmm.
times.
Oh,
four
okay.
times without stopping, okay? Okay, then yeah. we're going to go to the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Slide to the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Slide down to the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
Slide up to the heart.
Yep.
Slide down to the base.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly slide up, pausing at each energy center for a few seconds.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You
just
are
one
so
thing.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I talked to Cole the other day, and he said he's doing very well. There's no sign of cancer. And remember Cole used to come on the call?
Yes.
My friend. Yeah. No, I asked him how he was going, and he said he's doing very well and no sign
Good.
Of cancer, and he's recovering. So I thought I'd pass that on.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm. Tell him I'm keeping him in my thoughts and prayers, and God bless you for sharing that.
That's okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate this.
God bless you, Marilyn. Thank you for coming on.
Okay.
All right. So we still have a few minutes. If anyone would like to get a custom code or a custom trilogy, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. Star 2 is going to raise your hand. All right, so we have someone in Chicago. Your number ends in 1799, and your line is open.
Hi, Johanna. This is Sheen. How are you?
Hi, Sheen. How are you? I'm good.
Good. I want to thank you first for helping me last time when I called. I called in for just a healing to work with my fear of losing control, and you recommended me to read the definition of self-control in that, 12 healing category. And initially, I didn't fully understand. I'm like, okay, I have a lot of self-control. If anything, I have too much self-control. It's that I'm afraid of losing control over other people. But once I read the definition, that really helped me to understand that my self-control is totally fear-based self-control. Mm-hmm. That the way it's put there is that it's like an opponent that I have to constantly wrestle to the ground, that mm-hmm. the moment I let loose, bad things will happen to me. And that's totally how I'm like, oh my gosh, that's how I've been functioning. And that's why for the longest time I couldn't figure out why that I always have to make an effort to feel safe in the moment. it's almost I have to talk myself into it. At this moment, I don't have to perform. I don't have to please anyone or myself. And then I'm safe. I can relax. And, like, I had to go through all that to get there. But once I connected with this fear-based self-control, that definition, and I realized every moment I'm constantly thinking how I need to perform at 10. That's why I always have to underline stress and fear and never feel like I could relax. So the trilogy you gave me last time, I feel like it's really helped me to make those dots connect.
Wonderful.
And, then I feel like it's easier for me to feel safe and to relax. So I wanted to see, I feel like dots are connecting, but I don't totally own it yet, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If I could maybe get another trilogy just to reinforce that,
mm-hmm.
that fear of losing control, or unless you feel like something else should be addressed. But I just want to give you the report first of my progress.
This is wonderful, and thank you so much for sharing, Ching. This is, I'm sure, helping others, too, to be just be consistent, you know, and not try to figure things out, but to just be open, just as you were, to maybe a whole other understanding, you know, of what, like, for example, in your case, self-control. Let's go ahead and test. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The fear issues.
The fear issue.
Okay, very good. Let's get a new one. And now, I know you worked in the self-control category. Did you work in any of the other categories?
So I just used the code for all 12.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So I think the last one actually was today. I did on joy. Because joy is something that it was always really, really far away from me. It's like, and then now I understand why. Because when I'm rejoicing or when I'm happy, somehow that means I'm relaxed, and that means somehow I may lose the self control. Does that make sense? It's
yes,
so sad.
Absolutely. You're on the right
like,
track.
That makes
here.
Sense.
No, it does. So. Very good. Well, we're going to create a fresh one for you. So everything that's been in the process of healing is going to continue, but we're going to do some fresh, like create a stronger frequency to help not only clear up those, but also anything else that's showing up. And in your exploration and discovery, just keep yourself open to anything else that shows up that may have a fear factor in it. So... Did you want a trilogy? You wanted a trilogy, correct?
Yeah, whatever that's effective.
The trilogy I would highly recommend. Okay, let's go ahead and test. Okay, can you say for me again the fear issues?
The fear issue.
Okay, good. Just a moment. Okay, so minute number one, acupoints and meridians. We're going to tap from the eyebrows all the way down to the side of the hand.
Okay.
Then we're going to come back up to under the eyes,
okay.
Under the nose, under the arms, under the nipples. Thumb, little finger, collarbone, sore spot, and then the 9G.
Okay,
minute number two, healing code. First position, left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge.
High bridge.
High bridge. Mm-hmm. The second position is both hands jaws. The next position, the third position, left hand below the belly button, right hand high bridge. And the last position, the fourth position, is both hands Adam's apple. All right. Okay, so minute number three, governing conception and energy centers. We're going to slide.
Okay. Hold on, Johanna. Let me just make sure. Can I make sure one thing?
Yes.
With the healing code, the third position is left hand below belly button, right hand high bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so minute number three, you're going to slide from the base all the way up and over two times without stopping. And then you're going to start at the heart. And you're going to slide up to the throat. Slide up to the forehead. Slide up to the crown. Then slide all the way back down to the base. Slide up to just under the belly button. Slide up to the heart. Slide back down to the solar plexus. And then slide down to the base. And then come all the way up and over. And that's it.
Great. I'm really excited for a new one. So one question I have is every time after I'm done, I always share it with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Does that diminish the effectiveness of the healing myself? Okay.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
If anything,
great.
It can increase it.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's very good. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're very welcome. God bless you.
Okay, same to you. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Okay, our next caller is a web caller. I'm opening your line now, and your line is open.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering, can you give a custom trilogy to an animal? My dog is having some issues, and I would like to help her.
Sure. We can definitely do that. So what
Great.
You would do is you would do the trilogy on yourself, and then you would touch the dog or just release it to them and love. Okay.
Okay,
and,
great.
Let me ask you this. Is the animal, does she seem afraid or he seem afraid?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and how do you feel about that?
I'm also afraid because when she gets scared, she gets quite aggressive, and I'm afraid that she would bite somebody or something bad would happen.
Okay. So what we're going to be doing now, is your name Eva?
Yes.
Okay, Eva. What we're going to do is create a trilogy. You would do it on yourself to address your own fears.
Yes.
And then you want to release, and then, of course, you know, consider
yes.
the animal there, but the dog there. Then you release it to her and love.
Okay.
Okay. So, are truly say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truth.
I am ready to test truthfully.
And what is your doggy's name?
Dahlia.
I'm testing for Dahlia.
I'm testing for Dahlia.
Oh, great. All right. The first minute of acupoints, and we're going to tap from the eyebrows all the way down to the side of the hand. About, you know, type all those points. All the way to the side of the hand and then stop. Then we're going to go to collarbone, middle of the chest, then up to the chin, and then the side of the eye.
Side of eye.
Next, we're going to come down to the sore spots and under the nipples. And then you do the 9G.
9G. Okay.
Okay, the healing code. We're going to do both hands, high bridge. Both hands touching the high bridge. Then left hand jaw, right hand Adam's apple.
Right.
Then both hands touching the brain stem. And that's it.
Okay.
And then on minute number 3, governing conception and energy centers, we're going to slide from the base all the way up and over 3 times. And then we're going to start at the base again, only this time you're going to go slowly. So you're going to pause at the base, hold it there for about 5 or 6 seconds or longer, and then slide up to just under the belly button, pause there, hold it for 5 or 6 seconds or longer. And you're going to do that to all the energy centers, all the way up over, until you reach the top of the spine. And that's it.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
Thanks. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Okay, so I think that's going to end our call today. I want to thank you all for participating. We apologize if there wasn't an email that went out this week. I know I'm having a little challenge there with sending out emails, but I'm so glad so many of you made it. And those of you that are listening to the recording, thank you again. We'll meet you again next week. God bless.